Pastor Rick Warren often says, you were made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will never make sense. Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, in our series called God's Vision for the Rest of Your Life, Rick continues in his effort to help you discover the unique purpose and vision that the Lord has for your life. Now, before we get started, we want to let you know that a very generous friend has given a $100,000 matching grant to Daily Hope. That means that all this month, every dollar you give to help Daily Hope share the hope of Jesus around the world will be matched up to $100,000. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Why You Need a Church Family.
My church family helps me center my life on God on a regular basis. It helps me connect with other believers on a regular basis. Number three, it helps me cultivate spiritual maturity. God doesn't want you to remain a spiritual baby. We talked about this in the first session, that the third purpose of life is God says, I want you to grow up. I don't want you to be a spiritual infant all your life. I want you to become like Christ. He says, I want you to grow. But here's the catch. You can't do it on your own. No baby ever grows up on its own. It needs a family of some kind. And you need a spiritual family, just like you needed somebody to help you grow up when you were young physically. God says we need each other. You need a family. The Bible says this. Christ's body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. Circle that, grow. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. By the way, this is my job. My job is to make sure you grow. It's the job of all of our pastors, all of our leaders, all of our Bible study teachers, all of us who are involved in small group leadership, host homes. In fact, the Bible says this about these people. Next verse. Their purpose is to prepare God's people to serve and to build up the body of Christ until we become mature and measure up to Christ, who is the standard. At Saddleback, your growth is our goal. And I'm always thinking about this. When you're thinking about other stuff, I'm always thinking about, how can I help them grow, Lord? How can I help them grow? Now, the Bible has a word for this process of growth. It's called discipleship. Discipleship is just the process of growing from a spiritual baby to a spiritual adult. It means I'm maturing in my faith. I'm getting stronger. I'm developing some muscle. See, a lot of people get stuck in perpetual immaturity. They're saved, but they're shallow. And the Bible says in Ephesians, it tells us God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and to tell it in love, like Christ, in everything. Some of you last week opened your life to Christ and you're just a brand new baby in the Lord. Well, the Bible says, take advantage of the time that you have. The next verse, don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith. And then it lists about eight or nine things. With good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing all the others. Now, how can I grow? Well, I've listed a couple ways there. You can take class 201, the Discovering Spiritual Maturity class. You definitely need to join a small group. The next verse gives us how they grew in the Bible. This is the first church. It says, those who believe, that's the first thing you do is you believe. Then we're baptized. That's the second thing you do. You get baptized. And then added to the church. That's the third thing you do is you join a church family. Just pick one. Then they joined with the other believers and committed themselves to the apostles' teaching. What's the apostles' teaching? It's the Bible. The New Testament was written by the apostles. They worshiped together regularly in the temple courts, like we do on our campus, and met in small groups in homes for communion and shared their meals with great joy. To grow, I need large group worship and small group fellowship. Now, one of the ways that God makes us grow is one that we hate. We hate this one. but it's God's favorite way. It's called testings. Are any of you familiar with this? Trials, testings, tribulations, problems, pressures, difficulties, delays, dead ends, all these things God says, I'm using to help you grow spiritually. Why? Because God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. Comfort's coming later. Character development is now. So he's not trying to make your life easy. He's trying to help you grow up. And he says, I'll use testings and delays. And of course, here at Saddleback, we've had many, many, many years of testings and delays and difficulties and dead ends. Now, were the delays and the difficulties and the dead ends and all those growth opportunities over those 15 years worth it? Yes, because God's more interested in building people than in building buildings. And God was changing us. And in all of that time, we turned two amazing lessons, learned them. Number one, that God's timing is perfect. And number two, you don't want to be on the wrong side of God because God is in control. My church helps me center my life on God. My church family helps me connect with other believers. My church helps me grow and cultivate character and become like Christ. And number four, it helps me make a contribution. God did not put you on earth just to live for yourself, but he wants you to make the world a better place. He wants you to use your talents and gifts. We talked about this last week, the fourth purpose of life. You're shaped to serve God by serving others. See, God intends for you to use your time on earth to practice serving. The Bible says this, God has made us what we are, and he's given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ago, he planned that we should spend these lives helping others. But here's the secret. God doesn't want you to do it on your own. He wants you to do it with other people. Next couple verses. We work together as partners who belong to God. We do it together. You're not on your own. The Bible says two are better off than one because together they can work more effectively. Now there's a word for this, and it's the word ministry. It's my ministry is what the Bible calls it, using your abilities to serve other people. And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, complete the ministry God has given you. Now, every Christian is a minister. Not every Christian's a pastor, but everyone is to be a minister. That means to use your talents and gifts to make a contribution in life. Not to just be a taker in life, but to be a giver in life. Now, this basis, this value that we have, that every member is on mission and every member is a minister, it's a key value of our church. But I have to be honest with you, it wasn't at the start. I didn't understand this. In fact, when I started the church, I thought I was supposed to do all the ministry and you guys were just supposed to watch. Good job, Rick. Yeah, woo! You know, that's like a football game. 22 people on the field in need of rest, 22,000 in the stands in need of exercise. And in the early years, Glenn and I were the only staff and we tried to do it all the preaching, all the teaching, all the praying, all the baptizing, all of the counseling, all the visiting in homes, all of the hospital visits, all of the weddings, all the funerals. That's what a traditional church does. The average church has 150 people because that's what one guy can handle. And we were trying to do it all. And finally, after about year four, I got up in front of the whole church like this one time and I said, folks, I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore. I'm burning out. I'm burning out emotionally, physically, and mentally because the church is growing too fast. And there's no way that I can personally meet everybody's needs. But I said, you know, as I read the Bible, I'm not supposed to be doing that anyway. The Bible says pastors are supposed to equip the members for their ministry. I'm not the minister of this church. You are. Every person who loves the Lord is a minister. My job is to administer. I am to help you be effective and help train you and help make you successful in your ministry. Because one day you're going to stand before God and God's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? That talent, that ability, that opportunity. You think I just gave it for your own effort? No, it's to help make the world a better place. And so I said, you know what? My job is to help train you, and your job is to do your ministry. So I said, I'll make you a deal. If you will do your ministry, I will make sure you are spiritually well fed. And that day, the people said, you got a deal, Pastor. Okay, Rick. And we shook hands on it, and we signed a covenant, and it was right after that Saddleback exploded with growth. Why? I wasn't the bottleneck anymore. holding it back. So much that the next year, there was a guy in our church who had a heart attack, and he was an original member of the church, and his name was Walt. And I did something I don't get to do anymore. It's make a hospital visit. Say, how you don't visit members in the hospital? How could I? There are 82,000 names on the computer roll of this church. That's a city. How many people in a city are sick in a typical week? A lot. We could have 300 or 400 people in the hospital this week. It'd be real easy. So how do you play favorites and say, well, I'll visit you, but not you? This guy was a charter member, and this is 15, 20 years ago now. And I said, I'll go see him. So I go over to Saddleback Hospital, and I walk into intensive care and go up to the head nurse, and I go, hi, I'm Pastor Rick, and I'm here to see Walt. The lady looks at me, she says, how many pastors does this church have? And I said, well, you know, at the time, I said, I think we got 7 or 8 ordained pastors, but in our church, everybody's a minister. She said, well, I'm sorry, you can't see him. Too many pastors have already seen him. I said, ma'am, I'm the pastor. The head honcho, the big wapabonga, the founding pastor, you know, the big cheese. She goes, I don't care who you are, you still can't see him. I think this is really funny. She won't let me in. So she walks away, and I snuck in anyway. So I go on in, and Walt's got IVs in his arms, and he sits up in bed, and he looks at me, he goes, Pastor Rick, what are you doing here? Like, man, I must be really sick. The big guy's here. You know, like near death, you know, near death. And it's like my friend John Bassanio, who's a pastor, he said, a little lady asked him one time, said, Pastor John, when are you going to visit me? He said, ma'am, you don't want to be that ill. I prayed with Walt. I read him some scripture, talked to him a while. He didn't need me. He didn't need me. Because in the last 24 hours, 5 people from his small group had already been to see him. And I walked out of there, and I burst into tears. Freely coming down my cheeks, and I go, that is it. That is the way God meant for the church to act. He never meant for the church to be a one-man superstar show where super pastor flies into the hospital room with his cape, you know, sprinkles pixie dust around the bed, you know, here a prayer, there a prayer, everywhere a prayer, prayer, you know, and says a few kind of cool things and then flies off into the sunset, and the guy in the hospital room goes, who was that guy? And I didn't even get a chance to thank him, like he's a Lone Ranger or something. No, the Bible says 58 times, love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, help one another, counsel one another, support one another, on and on and on and on. It is the mutual ministry of every believer in the family of God, helping every other believer in the family of God. And that's the way God meant for it to be. And that's why this church has grown, because we have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of ministers in this church. Now, the truth is, serving God by serving others is not always easy. And sometimes you're going to get discouraged. So what do you do when you start to get discouraged? You remember 2 things. First, you remember that you're going to receive reward that's going to go on and on and on for eternity. The Bible says this, God will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other Christians. God says, I'm racking it up as if it's credits toward me. And he says, you're going to be rewarded in eternity. And the second thing is, remember that God uses every little thing. Nothing is insignificant in serving God. The Bible says this, keep busy and work for the Lord, since you know that nothing you do in the Lord's service is ever useless. It's not in vain. Number 5, a church helps me communicate God's message. The life message that he has put in you. We said in session 1 that God has a mission for you on this planet. And he has a life message that he wants to say to the world through you that nobody else can say. And that's part of your plan. And that's part of what the church is to help you do. Now, part of that is this. Here's what God expects. The Bible says through Christ, God made peace between us and himself. And then God gave us the work of telling everybody about the peace we can have with him. He gave us this message of peace. So we have been sent to speak for Christ. Now, the Bible calls this my mission. My mission. And I want you to circle that phrase, message of peace. Message of peace. It's not by accident that we named our mission strategy the Global Peace Plan. And there are two parts to your mission, sharing and serving, sharing and showing. An audiovisual believer, notice these verses. You are God's instrument to do his work and to speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he's made for you. That's the speaking part. Now here's the showing part. Live in a way that brings honor to the good news of Christ, standing strong with one purpose, that's purpose driven, as you work together, that's in the family of God, as one for the faith of the good news. Now in class 401, Discovering My Mission, you learn that we're on the winning side in history. History is his story. And the Bible says this, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world, and it's changing lives everywhere, just as it changed yours that very first day you heard it and understood the truth about God's great kindness to sinners. Now let me warn you, if you get serious about fulfilling your mission in life, you cannot do it without some cost. There's going to be some sacrifices in your life. You cannot add it on to your schedule and say, in my spare time, I'm going to fulfill the purpose I was put here on earth to do. No, it is either God's plan or my plan. And there's going to be some sacrifices.
Thank you so much for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We've got some incredible news to share with you. A very generous friend has given a $100,000 matching grant to this ministry. That means that all this month, every dollar you give to help Daily Hope share the certain hope of Jesus around the world will be matched up to $100,000. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Did you know that the Bible promises that wherever God sends his word out, it will always produce results? It's a promise. It's a promise in Isaiah 55:11, where God says, when I send my word out, it always produces fruit. It always accomplishes what I want it to, and it prospers everywhere I send it. That's in the Living Bible. I love that passage, and this is why we do what we do here at Daily Hope. We're constantly sending out God's word to give hope to people who have no hope, and to tell them about the love and the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we couldn't do this without your support. It's your prayers. It's your financial support that helps God send his word across the country and all around the world through Daily Hope broadcast. You know, God has really blessed this ministry, and we say to him be the glory, but we still have many more people to reach. There are over 7 billion people in the world, and every one of them needs to know Jesus Christ. Many of them have never even heard the name of Jesus. And so this is our faith goal. You know, we started Daily Hope Ministry because we want to reach what we call the unreached, unengaged people groups. That's the about 3,000 remaining tribes in the world that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. And there's still about 3,000 tribes where the name of Jesus has not been proclaimed. How do we get there? By taking this broadcast to what we call near neighbors and encouraging them to then go in and reach those people, we hope to one day finish and help complete the Great Commission as doing our part with everybody else who's doing their part to follow the command of Christ. As we tell others about the love of Jesus, God helps us to trust him even more. And of course, the Bible says, the more you help others, the more God blesses you. And so thank you for your gifts. I know that God is blessing you and will continue to bless you as you bless others. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Just want you to know that I love you. I thank God for you. I care for you. And I'm praying for you. God bless you.
All this month, every dollar you give to help Daily Hope share the certain hope of Jesus around the world will be matched up to $100,000. So $25 becomes $50, $50 becomes $100, and $500 becomes $1,000. Whatever you give will be doubled by the matching grant up to $100,000, but only till midnight December 31st. Anything not matched will be lost. You can give right now by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. We'll say thanks by sending you the brand new Daily Hope Prayer Journal. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.